I fall down on my knees. Lay all my burdens down at your feet. As I come before your throne, wipe away all the tears that
Welcome to Spirit Driven with Senior Pastor David Wilson of Hope Chapel Westside, located in Eva Beach. Pastor Dave is currently teaching the series, How Great is Our God, where we are learning that we can feel confident and secure in our relationship with God due to His unique attributes that He alone possesses. And now, Pastor Dave Wilson.
Well, we've been talking about the attributes of God, and it's a little bit of theology, but there's life application. God has unique attributes, and among those attributes are that He is all-powerful, and we say omnipotent. That means that God is totally powerful, completely capable of accomplishing all that He sets out to accomplish in this world and in our personal lives. Isn't that good? Being all-powerful, usually the first question that comes to our minds is, well, if God is all-powerful, then why doesn't He take evil out of the world? Or why doesn't He eliminate all who do evil? Why does He allow it? And theologians for hundreds of years have been talking about this, but the short answer is really this. If God, the only way God could completely take away the possibility of evil would be to eliminate our free will, our ability to choose. But in doing that, He would also eliminate our ability to love and to choose Him, to choose to love Him. We would just be robots. And I don't know about you, I don't want to be a robot. But somehow, God, in His knowledge and in all His power, has chosen us to be like this. Well, we were created perfect, but we chose, we had the ability to choose to go away from Him and to be imperfect and to fall into sin. But He has an incredible plan to draw us back to Him. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about omnipotent God. Omni meaning all, potent meaning powerful. He is a God who has all power. He can accomplish anything that He wants to accomplish. But some people might say, well, if He's all powerful, and they ask these silly questions, well, can God make a rock that He can't move? Come on. Please. He can do anything. But things that He can't do are things that God cannot lie. They are things against His character. God cannot lie. He cannot change the rules of mathematics that He has set in place. So these are self-imposed limitations. You understand the difference? They're self-imposed limitations. So we want to serve an all-powerful God, but He's got certain things that He chooses not to allow. Now, when I thought about how to share God's omnipotence, what I could say about that, and as I prayed about the scripture, I came across Jeremiah. Have you guys ever read Jeremiah? When you read the prophets like Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah, Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. And so he also wrote Lamentations, which basically means to weep. So it's hard to read some of it because you're like, wow, this is a bummer. But it's also encouraging. And I wanted to share just one scripture with you this morning. Jeremiah 32:17, and then I want to give you kind of the backdrop and the story behind it. In Jeremiah 32:17, it says this. Jeremiah said, "Ah, Lord God, it is You who have made the heavens and the earth. By Your great power and by Your outstretched arm, nothing is too hard for You." That we should memorize. That is one of the best scriptures on the omnipotence of God. Also, God is called Almighty God 56 times in the scripture. You know what Almighty means? almighty, all powerful. God has all power. So it's not just in one place, it's all throughout the Old Testament, all throughout the New Testament. So we can establish that God is all powerful. Now, to understand why Jeremiah was so excited and why he makes this proclamation, we have to travel back to 630 BC. It says a little more than 600 years before the birth of Christ. Now, we're in the southern kingdom of Judah, and there were two tribes in there. There was Judah and Benjamin. The tribes, the 10 tribes in the north had been taken away by the Assyrians. But Judah was under siege by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon and the Chaldean army. Now, under siege, today we have what we call sanctions, right? You know what sanctions are? When we have sanctions against a country, we have an embargo. Well, a siege was even worse because back then they had these city-states, right, where you had a wall around the city, and basically they wouldn't let anybody out of the city, so they couldn't get water, they couldn't get food, they couldn't get supplies, and so people were starving. Their children were starving to death. They were just skin and bones. It was a horrible time in Judah. It's a very graphic scene. If you choose to read the five chapters of Lamentations, do so with a box of tissue next to you, because it paints a very graphic picture of what it was like at that time in the kingdom of Judah. Well, Jeremiah, when he says this, he's under arrest. And he's been arrested by the king because Jeremiah is a prophet who speaks the word of God. And sometimes, how many know that you can kind of get into trouble sometimes speaking the word of God to people that don't want to hear the word of God? And so Jeremiah, he's under arrest. And what happened is that King Zedekiah, who was the king at that time in Judah, did not want to hear the word of the Lord. In fact, God was angry, and God had warned time and time again. As you read Isaiah, you read Ezekiel, you read Jeremiah, you read the prophets, and what was the big thing that God didn't like? He didn't want what? Worship of false gods, right? And that worship of false gods, it usually included sexual immorality. They would sacrifice their children to the god Molech, which was basically, it was a fire. That's what it means when they would burn their children in the fire. Zedekiah was okay with this. He was not a righteous king. The last righteous king I believe they had in Judah was Josiah. But after him, these evil kings who were not righteous were more concerned about pleasing the people, so he let all the stuff go on. And he listened to these false prophets. These false prophets would tell him, everything's going to be okay, don't worry, but what Jeremiah was telling him is, it's over. You, King Zedekiah, have to accept the fact that God's going to now punish Judah, and he's going to take you away into exile, into Babylon. You're going to be in Babylon for 70 years. This is not something that he wants to hear. When you're a ruler, you're a king, or you're a president or something, you want to hear good news, right, about your country. You want to hear good news. You don't want to hear you're going to be taken over, right? It's kind of like a prophet going, okay, the United States is going to be invaded by Russia in a few days. Just accept it. Nothing you can do about it. What? Yep. No, we're going to fight. Wait. Nope. You're going to be invaded. No, we're going to. And then you get invaded. And what happened? Why? Because you went away from the Lord. You worship false gods. And so this is what was happening with them. Now, Zedekiah, he chose to surround himself with false prophets who would tell him what he wanted to hear. But when it came time, he was running. He ran away. They killed his family in front of him, and then they gouged his eyes out. They blinded him, and they led him away. Horrible story. But the Bible doesn't candy coat it. It doesn't. It gets pretty graphic, and I will spare you some of those details. But as we look at the story, as we look at Jeremiah, we go back to where he's arrested. And God, in the middle of all this, right, all these things that Jeremiah has seen, the king isn't listening, the people are starving to death, this is horrible, We're going to be taken away into exile. And right in the middle of this darkest time in the kingdom of Judah, he says to Jeremiah the prophet, I want you to go to your cousin, and I want you to buy a plot of land. Then I want you to take the deed and put it in this earthen jar. And yeah, that's what I want you to do. What? Lord, we're going to be conquered. We're going to be taken away into exile. These bad things are happening, and you're telling me to buy land? That's just going to be taken away? What's the point of that? But Jeremiah knew something. He knew this, and so he says in response, this is where the scripture comes in. Wow, is nothing too hard for you, Lord? You mean I can trust you to the point that I can step out on your promises that no matter how dark it looks, no matter how bad our situation is, in 70 years, you're going to bring us back into Judah. You're going to bring us back? And that's what happened. God allows kings to be in power, and he pulls them out of power, and he puts Cyrus in power after Nebuchadnezzar. And Cyrus said, yeah, go back, rebuild the wall, rebuild Jerusalem, go worship your God. Now, as we look at this part of history, we look at this particular story of Jeremiah, there are three things I kind of want to look at as I kind of prayed about how to present this to you and how this might apply to our life. I noticed something between Zedekiah and Jeremiah. There was a difference. Can you see the contrast? Maybe you can, but let's take a look at it. For one, Zedekiah was concerned about reputation with people, and Jeremiah was more concerned about his reputation with God. How many of you guys think what's more important? I mean, God, right? Reputation with God's always number one. Well, Zedekiah didn't see it that way. Zedekiah was king, but as a king, you still had to take care of the people, right? You still had to please the people, take care of the people. But as a king, you were also supposed to be righteous and just. And he was not a righteous king. But he kept certain people happy that would keep him in power. Now we see in our own time this dynamic. In fact, every generation has it, don't we? We see those that are in charge, whether they be a king or be a president of a country, and they're more concerned about their reputation or their legacy or pleasing a small group of people than they are about listening to God and what God wants. Because God's all about, you need to be righteous, you need to be just. You need to do what is right in my eyes. And there's people who even that are in power even claim to be Christians, yes? People in high positions of authority. You can say all day long that you belong to Christ, but if your actions are contrary, if the fruit of your efforts are totally contrary to what you profess to believe, I don't know if you can say that. We see even in our own country, and again, this isn't political, these are just facts. Over the past 10 years, we have become less safe. For the first time in history, the United States in the year 2016 was considered among one of the 12 worst nations in the world for Christian persecution. We've just made the list. And that's not a good list. International Christian Concern, go ahead and look it up. Google it. Look it up for yourselves. And you might think, well, why? No, we're not like those other countries where, you know, they're killing Christians. And there's a few of those. Now, we're not at that level. But the amount of persecution that's going on is incredible, gang. It's not being reported in the news. It's not being given the attention. You see little snippets and little news stories. People have been losing their jobs. People have been thrown in jail. People have been fined. People have been basically censured and told that, you know, just keep your faith to yourself. Gang, we should not be on that list. But you see, if you have people that are in places of authority that put certain policies and things into place that allowed this to happen, not only here but globally, did you know in the past 10 years, global persecution has skyrocketed specifically towards Christians? Yes, more Christians have been killed. Why? Care more about reputation. Care more about what people think about me instead of doing what is right in the sight of the Lord. And you and I, Do we care personally more about what people think about us? How we might look at work? Do I make a good impression, right? Do I make a good impression at work? I'm going to do all this stuff for my boss, and I'm going to stay at work, and I'll work extra hours. And there's nothing wrong with hard work. Don't get me wrong, please. You should work as unto the Lord, and you should work hard. You don't want to be slack. But sometimes I think we can get to this mode where we're working so hard, but we're neglecting other things, and God's not a priority anymore. And pretty soon, maybe God's blessing. God might bless your business. You might, wow, God's blessing. And I've seen where God will bless people, and all of a sudden you don't see them anymore. And suddenly you're like, what's going on? Because they forget who's been blessing them, right? Never forget who is our provider, amen? Never forget the one who's blessing you. Yeah? Because then you might find, maybe that blessing's not going to, maybe that stream of blessing might get a little smaller. Don't be so concerned about your reputation among people, among your boss and coworkers, or even among your family. And I don't mean this cathartic outburst of, that's just the way I am. I don't care what anybody thinks. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm saying don't be so concerned that you're not concerned about what God is thinking first. That's what counts. Everything else is fine after that. If you're concerned about what God thinks, then most likely you're doing the kinds of things that produce a certain character in you that naturally it's you don't have to worry about what people think because you reflect the glory of the Lord. Amen? The second thing I think that we see here is Zedekiah listened to those who said what he wanted to hear. Zedekiah surrounded himself with false prophets. Now, he knew that they were full of baloney. He knew that these were false prophets, that they were just tickling his ears. They were just saying what he wanted to hear. He gathered them around anyways. We see this even today, where just like with Zedekiah gathering false prophets, we gather false prophets. We gather teachers around us. Tell us, tickle our ears. Tell us what we want to hear. There's nothing wrong with positive thinking, amen? And there's nothing wrong with that, and there's nothing wrong with hearing an encouraging word, but man, it should be a right word. See, the word that Zedekiah was getting from these false prophets, oh, king, don't worry. Don't worry about that siege outside there. It was a total denial of reality. Don't worry about the enemy. You're fine, right? That's what false prophets do. You're fine. It's all about just feeling good. Just feel good, king. Feel good. It's okay. Don't worry about the future. You're going to be just fine. Don't worry about following God and doing all those rule things there in the Bible. It's okay. You're fine. Don't worry about personal holiness. Ah, it's fine. You're fine, king. But Zedekiah wasn't fine. Listening to those false prophets lost him his family and his sight. That was the last thing that he would remember seeing. Don't listen to false prophets. Zedekiah here. He listened to these false prophets, and we have people today, we have false prophets who claim to be teachers of the Word of God, who claim to be called by God to be pastors, and yet they'll talk about social reform, they'll talk about social justice. We got to do justice, we got to speak for those who can't speak for themselves. But then on the flip side, they totally disregard personal holiness. And they say, oh, you know, you can be sleeping together before marriage, it's okay, right? Only disregard things that are clearly marked in the scripture. Hey, this is God's will, this is not God's will. Let me tell you, gang, the Bible's written in such a way, it's made very clear, especially in the New Testament, amen, of do's and don'ts, especially in these areas. But we've got these false teachers that are like magnets that gather people around them that are just tired of hearing what I'm saying. They're tired of hearing of what the Bible says, and they want something new. They don't want to actually change their life. They just want to feel comfortable where they're already at and be affirmed in it. But see, God's not about just affirming you in your sin. He's about transforming you into a new creation. He's about changing you into something new. Amen? And he's patient, and he's loving, and he's caring, but he wants to transform you. He wants to move powerfully in your life. But we have these false teachers. They're all about, no, just stay the way you are. Stay exactly the way you are. Don't change a thing. Now, and it sounds good, and it sounds positive, but there's a little twist there that closes you off to the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit can do in your life. That's a false message, gang. God does love you. He does affirm you. He does forgive you of all your sins. But he also wants to transform you. He's got plans. He wants to accomplish his will in your life. And sometimes that means going through hard things, yes? It's hard. Sometimes it's difficult out there. Well, we'll get really to the third thing is that Zedekiah denied reality. He denied reality. He wasn't able to handle negative news. You guys know anybody like that? Cannot handle negative news, right? I think we've been seeing kind of a lot of that lately. Just total denial of reality. Well, King, the army, you know, they're climbing up the walls. Nah, no, I don't believe it. King, your people are starving. They look fine. They're just on a diet. No, King, they're not on a diet. Your people are really in trouble. We're gonna be overrun. We're gonna be taken to Babylon, and it's gonna be bad. Come on, King, you've got to do something. Don't just leave us here in this mess. No, we're fine, right? Total denial of reality. And we have people today, and maybe you've even gone through this, where you know you're in a place you just can't handle. You're going through something. You've gone through something, and you can self-medication. You can go into a deep depression. You don't want to talk to anybody. You don't want to hear from anybody. It's hard. People that don't have the Lord in their lives. People that push away the Word of God. But there's nothing else for them to hold on to. I remember, you know, that song that they said I wrote. I wrote that a long time ago, and Your Holiness I Desire. It was during a time in my life where there were good things that were happening, but it was kind of dark. I experienced a lot of loss, and I had my guitar with me. I was so broken. I felt so empty. I had gone through betrayal and just really wondering what, you know, God's will. Lord, what do you want me to do? And kind of feeling this emptiness. And it really took that out of that emptiness. And I just cried out to God. And I said, Lord, God, I just need you. And as I cried out to him, it just came out in a song. I just started playing the guitar. It just came out. I could feel him just filling me up. And he just really gave me a burden for the people in these islands. He gave me a burden, especially for over here in this area. And I would just tell you this. There's nothing better than being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. All I'm saying is that this idea that sometimes atheists or people that are trying to make fun of Christians, that we believe in a God that is a fairy tale, or that he's going to work everything out, our life's just going to be great. I don't know what they're talking about, because the God of the Bible, those of us that understand the scriptures, we know what the word says. So God allows us as Christians to be able to handle reality. He is the one that allows us to handle the hard things. Jeremiah was in the middle of a city that was starving to death. Talk about faith. You see, belief in an almighty God is belief in a God that not only can do, but will do all that he has promised. We live in a time of uncertainty. We might be heading into a time of prosperity and blessing. We might be heading into a time of craziness, or a time that might be a little bit rough. I don't know. Because isn't that your prayer? I know that you guys got a lot of, like, regular prayers, right? Because I have those regular prayers to pray for my family and stuff, pray for the president and whoever's going to be the president. And then I always have that prayer, oh, please, Jesus, come soon. And rapture now. No? No? Later? Okay. But I'm good. But God has given us the ability. He gave Jeremiah the ability, and he gives us the ability to not just look at what's right in front of us in that hard, hard thing that is happening, but to look beyond us, or to look beyond us and beyond that thing that is in front of us into the future. So it's not just positive thinking, it's future thinking. It's not kingdom with a small k, my kingdom, kingdom with a big K. It's God's kingdom that I'm thinking about. It's not having a small picture thinking, it's a big picture thinking. See, God has called us to big picture thinking, to thinking that is way beyond something that we can do. That's called what? Faith, ladies and gentlemen. And because we have an omnipotent, all-powerful God, we have an object in which we can put faith and believe that he can do. Don't just look at what's in front of you. Don't just look at, oh, this is my talent or this is my gift. Don't just look at the size of the church that you're a part of. Don't just look at what your ministry has done in the past. Look at what God wants you to do right now this year. Don't look at what you have or haven't been or you have or haven't done, but look forward to what God wants you to do. I don't know when he's going to take me home. Could be quick. It could be a long time from now. But in that time that I have, I want to fulfill his purpose for my life. And for that, I need to have faith. And I can have faith in an all-powerful God.
You have been listening to Spirit Driven with Pastor David Wilson of Hope Chapel Westside. Hope Chapel Westside meets Sundays, 9 a.m. at Holomua Elementary School in Ever Beach. If you would like more information on Hope Chapel Westside, just visit our website, hopechapelwestside.net. God bless and have a great week in the Lord.